This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
This is Andre Riven, Joy 94.9's multicultural show with Mo and Hugh. Andre Riven represents peace and understanding in a multicultural GLBTIQ community. If you have any comments on the programme or would like to ask any questions, you can contact us in the following ways. Andre Riven on Joy 94.9, SMS 0427 Joy 949, or email on air at joy.org.au.
On today's show, we're going to be speaking to Austin. Austin's going to be talking to us today about his experiences with coming out twice and his journey of discovering his sexuality over the last 10 years and the role of spirituality and community involvement in that journey.
Joy 94.9, this is On Driven with Mo and Hugh. And our guest today is Austin, who comes from Malaysia. Welcome to the show, Austin.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Now, Austin, let's start the show off by, traditionally, we get people to tell us a little bit of where they come from and your background. So exactly where in Malaysia do you come from?
Well, I came to Australia when I was one, my parents, my dad's from Johor, which is towards Singapore, and my mum is from KL.
And how, well, why did your parents come to this country?
In a lot of ways, it was just about setting up a better life for the kids, I guess. Mm. It was one of those things. Both my parents had very successful careers in Malaysia. I think for them, it was really an opportunity to give myself and my sister a better life and education.
Yeah. Now, I mean, coming here, 1 year is quite young. Do you still have much connection with Malaysia, or do you still sort of identify with that background and that culture?
Yeah, I do. I still see myself as being Malaysian Chinese. That is my cultural roots and that's my identity. But certainly, I guess, having grown up in Australia, I do also identify myself as being Australian. So it is still like a dual identity and something that has proven to be quite confusing, I guess, growing up, being Malaysian Chinese, but particularly my younger years, having just mainly Anglo friends. So,
did your parents try to bring you up as Malaysian Chinese in learning the language and traditional?
Yeah, look, my parents were quite strict, and my dad in particular, he was a very, very proud man, and he's really proud of his cultural heritage. And growing up, there was a rule in the house that when we were at home, we had to speak Mandarin. Mm. And, you know, at the time, although it was, I didn't particularly like that, something that I'm very grateful for today, to be able to speak another language.
Well, being a first-generation migrant is always, especially at such a young age, is always a tough experience for a lot of people. How would you say going through that, a bit of culture clashes between I guess what would be the majority of your Anglo friends, and then living in a house where English wasn't spoken. Did that experience? I mean, what was that experience like for you? And what impact did that have on your identity and growing up in this country?
I guess when I was younger, it was something that that I resented a lot, I guess. I felt always like I was a misfit amongst friends. And, you know, I came to Australia in the mid-80s and I grew up in the southeastern suburbs, which wasn't particularly multicultural back then. You know, in today's times, maybe it'd be a bit different because it is a lot more multicultural. But certainly when I went through primary school and kindergarten, you know, I didn't have very many friends from different cultural backgrounds.
The first language, obviously, was Mandarin.
Yes.
And English then became your second language.
Yep.
So when you were at primary school, for example, did you have a Chinese accent?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I would say I did because the only way I learnt English was when I actually started schooling. So when I actually started kindergarten and moved into primary school, I couldn't really speak English.
So your parents didn't teach you English?
No, we never spoke English in the household.
So what about with the rise of Pauline Hanson sort of in the late 90s? You would have still been at school at that time.
Yep.
Was that something that you faced, or did you feel, or was it sort of something in the background? The kids you were at school with probably too young to engage with that, or did they?
Pauline Hanson, the rise of Pauline Hanson was probably when I was around grade six.
Okay.
Grade five, grade six. Look, at that stage, it didn't have a huge impact on me. I think all my friends were too young to really appreciate politics at grade five, grade six.
It's the great thing about kids.
Yeah, that's it. Ignorance is bliss. So, it wasn't a huge impact on myself during that period.
What about religion? Are your parents religious?
Not at all. And, you know, that was something else that I struggled with a bit going through school, because we did do religious education through primary schooling. You know, I did have an interest in Christianity. Not a real spiritual connection, but I think I thought it was pretty cool to be Christian, because we were learning it at school, and I had a few friends that were Christian. Mm. Yeah.
What about sports at school and activities? Were you involved in all of them?
Yeah, I was. I would say that, you know, I love sports now, but it was probably when I moved into secondary school that I really started excelling in sports.
Okay.
So, you know, I've had to go playing footy. And
did you find that as a great way to make, I guess, friends with the wider community?
Yeah, I would say it is. I think that's one of the great things about sports, that it is about building trust with other people. It's about working as a team. It's a great way to socialize with people. So certainly, you know, I think playing sports is something that has great social importance as well.
What happens when you were at school and you took schoolmates back to your house? How did your parents react to them?
It was never much of an issue. Reason being is because I probably didn't bring that many that many school friends home. I did go to my friend's place, but rarely did I ever really bring.
Was that because your parents spoke Mandarin to you? Or?
Yeah, I think friends were always a little bit awkward walking into a household where they couldn't really engage with, you know, my parents. And often, even when I had friends over on those rare occasions, we would be communicating in Mandarin, so I think it just created some awkwardness there. Yeah.
How good is your parents' English?
It is good now. Yeah. So it's you know, after, you know, 25 years, they can certainly communicate, but it's taken quite some time for them to learn the language. Yeah.
Okay. We'll come back to Austin's story very soon.
And you're listening to Joy 94.9 Orange Ribbon with Hugh and Mo.
Now, Austin, who's our guest today, let us know what the music was, the first track that we played.
The first track that was played was called Heavy Cross by Gossip. And the second track was White Knuckle Ride by Jamiroquai.
Okay. Why did you pick this music?
Look, I just think they're very funky tracks. Heavy Cross is a classic. Very funky beat. I love that song. And Jamiroquai, I thought that was a great song by Jamiroquai, but it didn't get too much airtime when he released it last year. So you decided
to help him out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, so we are talking about your story, and it's a fascinating story, and thanks for sharing it with us. But now your story is actually in two parts, because you came out twice.
Which is
probably one of the interesting parts of it. Now, the first time you came out was at age 16. What was that like, and what was the process that led you to do that?
I guess at age 16, how I came out was actually through the internet. I think during that time...
Dial-up?
it was dial-up, actually, and it was through gay.com. And there was chat rooms there, and I jumped on there and started making a few friends, and one day I just decided to catch up with them, and they broadened my experiences into the gay world.
So who did you actually come out to at 16?
The funny thing with that is I pretty much established a second life during that period. So right. I established a whole new group of friends outside of school. And I guess the first time I came out, I did tell my sister as well. I was actually seeing someone during that time, and she noticed that I was always on the phone or was absent from home. And
so did she think you had a girlfriend?
She knew something was up. Mm. She knew something was up, and one day she just approached me and asked me what was happening. You know, while I was being, a bit strange around the house.
Mm.
And I came out to her.
How did she react?
Look, she was shocked. She was shocked, and I was quite traumatized by the whole experience as well, because I remember telling her the first time, and I was in tears.
Is she older or younger?
She's older. Okay. She's 3 years older than me. When I did tell her, I think at that stage I was so overcome with shame that I really struggled to spit those words out to her.
Did you know anyone at school who was gay?
No, no one was publicly gay at school. Certainly, there was always the one or two kids that people made fun of and made accusations that they were gay. And it did turn out that they were gay, but no one was ever openly gay at school. Yeah.
What about that conflict as well? I mean, in our first talk break, you spoke about your parents as well, and being from a very heavy Malay Chinese background.
Yep.
Did you tinker with the idea of coming out to them at that time?
Absolutely not. Yeah. Not at age 16, and I guess during that time it was really a period of exploration and experimentation, and certainly I wouldn't say that age 16 I was fully grounded in my identity. It was really quite an exciting period exploring new things.
Mm. But do you have any regrets from that time?
Do I have any regrets? I wouldn't say I do. I look back on that period as being a time when I learnt quite a bit about myself, and in some ways has accelerated my coming out the second time.
Okay, we'll come back to Austin's story very soon.
Become a Joy member so we can give you the best shows every day. Call 1-300-JOY-949.
On Driven on Joy 94.9 with Mo and Hugh. And our guest today is Austin, who has a Malaysian Chinese background. Now, Austin, before the music break, We were talking. So actually, sorry, before we actually go into that, tell us what the music was.
The song was called The Face by Kings of Leon. Again, no real reason why I picked it. Just love the track.
Just love the track.
Great melody to it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, as I was saying before the music break, we were talking about you coming out at the age of 16, which is quite brave for a 16-year-old. But 2 years later, you decided to go back into the closet. You know, why?
I guess when I turned 18, I finished year 12. And that was, to me, a milestone in my life. And I was really looking forward to starting this next period of my life, going to university, into a course that I really wanted to do. And I guess I sort of went back into the closet because of fear. You know, at that stage, I don't think I fully came to terms with what it meant to be gay, and there was still shame attached to that identity of being gay, and I, in fear of judgment and you know, persecution, I wanted to go back in the closet.
Most people, when they go to uni, actually start to think about coming out because they've got to that age where they, and they're going to university and they're probably going to meet a lot of other gays at university. So I find it strange that you did reverse.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it was a combination of that fear. I guess at that stage in my life, I still thought that there was something wrong with being gay. And it wasn't something that, you know, I was particularly proud of. But, you know, I would also say at that stage in my life, at 18, I was still very confused. You know, at that stage, I was attracted to men and I was also attracted to women as well. And I didn't want to, you know, pigeonhole myself going into university.
But do you think was there anything in your coming out experience between the age of 16 and 18 that wasn't, I guess, happy enough or wasn't, was unfortunate enough for you to then want to go back into the closet?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. You know, I would say that between 16 and 18, I probably went to places which I probably shouldn't have at age 16. And, you know, I did immerse myself in the scene at that age. And I think I identified what it meant to be gay as being the scene. And it wasn't necessarily something that that I loved. It wasn't something that I saw myself living, that sort of lifestyle. And, you know, for those reasons, you know, I was, you know, quite okay with actually going back into a closet.
And you mentioned in the last talk topic that when you came out the first time, you actually told your sister. Now, did you go back to her again and say, actually, you know, that thing I told you, it's actually not, it didn't happen anymore?
You know, the funny thing is with my sister, we don't talk about it. You know, she would never come to me and go, oh, hey, Austin, how's that gay thing going for you? So it was never something that we sat down, had a D&M about. So, you know, for her, she just saw it as a phase. She saw me, you know, being out on the scene. But then, you know, when I got into uni, she also saw me, you know, living a very hetero life during that period.
Did you tell her when you decided to go back into the closet? Did you actually tell her you were doing this?
No. It was just never discussed. I think for her and myself, we just thought, all right, you know, Austin's gone through that phase and now he's over it. The straight and narrow. Yeah.
What about the first, you know, couple of months back in that closet, living I'm assuming you then had heterosexual relations and that. What was that experience like? Was it liberating? Did you finally feel the doors of acceptance of wider society open to you?
For me, during that period, I think it just felt a lot more normal in some ways. You know, I was able to fit in with the masses. You know, I didn't stand out. I wasn't different. So it was.
If I can ask you, Austin, what happened to all the friends that you made when you, between 16 and 18?
Yeah. You know, I think previously you guys asked the question whether there's something that I regretted during that period. And I would say that's probably something I do regret. I did, when I decided to go back into the closet, I did shut those guys out of my life. You know, the friends that I made during that period, You know, I just ceased contact with all of them.
Did you have a boyfriend between 16 and 18?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
So what happened to the boyfriend?
Again, same thing again.
You just shut him out.
They. You know, when I decided to go back to closet, I was single again during that time, and you know, when I did break up with them, we were on good terms. But when I went back to closet, yeah, I did shut them out of my life. Yeah.
So how was your life? How did you feel denying that you were gay? And how was life?
Look, I would say it was good. It was good. You know, for me, that period of my life was really a period of a lot of self-development and achievement for myself. Mm. You know, I don't have any regrets at all about going back into the closet. For me, I would also say, you know, at that point, identity was still such a grey thing for me. I couldn't really firmly establish my identity sexually.
Do you think if you hadn't come out at 16 in such a strong and passionate way, if you did actually come out, say, when you were 20 or 21, that you would not have gone back into the closet? Or do you think that that was an inevitable part of your coming out process, that you needed to do it in two separate stages?
I think that was inevitable. You know, I look at my life now, and I don't have regrets about those decisions that I've made in terms of coming out and going back into a closet and ultimately coming out again. I think it has made me a much stronger person, someone with greater conviction about the choices that I make in life, and it's something that I'm very happy with. Yeah.
Mm.
Okay, we'll come back to Austin's story very soon. Joy 94.9, this is On Driven with Mo and Hugh. And our guest today is Austin, who is Malaysian Chinese. Now, Austin, tell us who was singing.
That was Beyonce singing Irreplaceable in Spanish.
Beyonce singing in Spanish. And I didn't know she could sing in Spanish.
No, I didn't either. But I picked that track because I love Spanish. I think it's such a sexy language. I tried learning it once and dropped out after my second
like
class.
Many of us. Yeah. I think we've all been there.
I did Spanish at school, but yeah. I'm not very good.
Say something to me in Spanish.
No, I can't.
Now, we were in the middle of your story. You were telling us that you'd come out when you were 16, and you went back in when you're back into the closet when you're 18.
Yep.
Fast forward to when you're 24, 25,
yep.
You've decided to come out again. What set in motion the decision that would make you decide to come out of the closet 7 years later?
I guess what. What really triggered it was, I think, a sustained feeling of inauthenticity during that period. Again, it felt like I couldn't be who I was publicly. I think that did have an adverse effect on my mental health during that period of my life. I think... it just really culminated in this final.
Because you said sorry. Because you said at the start that it was great. It was a fantastic experience to be back in the closet.
Yep.
So when did that sort of just dry out?
It's interesting because during university and the first few years of finishing university and then getting a great job, I lived a extremely busy life. I was very hectic. Had a very strong social life as well, particularly during university, and it just wasn't something that I really had much time during those years back in the closet to think about who I was. And it wasn't until after working for a few years and social life wasn't as hectic as it was, that there was these re-emerging feelings of emptiness.
In this time when you went back into the closet, as we say,
yep.
Did you have a girlfriend?
I did have a girlfriend, on and off, during that period. It never really lasted for very long periods. But,
did you feel you were living a lie, or did you put that to the back of your mind?
Yeah, in some ways, I felt I was living a lie. not because I was going out with a girl, but I think because she never really knew who I was. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't so much the act of going out with someone, but it just was that reservedness in the relationship where I could never really reveal myself to her. Yeah.
Okay, we'll come back to Austin's story very soon.
And you're listening to Joy 94.9 Orange Ribbon. And we're talking to Austin about his story of coming out twice. And Austin is a Malay-Chinese young man. And now, Austin, we'll talk about your second coming out. What actually... So how did you do that? How did you do that the second time around? Because you said the first time was on gay.com.
Yep.
Is there a new website or
no? Well, actually, there was new websites. It was a whole new world. I gotta say, the world changed a lot during that period when I went back in the closet. Grindr emerged, and certainly Grindr wasn't around when I was I was 16. But I guess the second time coming out was quite a prolonged period. It was over the course of 6 months where I had to, you know, seek out some counseling during that period to get some comfort and acceptance of who I was.
The second time you came out, yes. Who did you come out to?
The second time I came out, I came out to my best friends, and I picked my coming out sequence strategically. I told, my friend, Marie, I told my housemate, and I told my best mate, Vince. And
any of them gay, or were they all straight?
No, they were all straight.
So what was the reaction when you told them this?
Well, that's a funny thing, because each time I told them, each of those people, they thought that something really bad happened. I remember telling Marie, and she thought that I had an illegitimate child that I had to tell her about. And when I told Vince, he literally thought that I committed a crime, and I had something really bad to tell him. But it's really funny. I think about that coming out the second time, and I was in such a my frame of mind was like it was a bad thing. And I think that was a reaction I attracted. But really, looking back on it now, it should have been more of a celebration,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
The question, did you tell your sister again?
I did, yes. I did tell her the second time.
She cried the first time. What was her response the second time?
The second time, look, she was... what was her response? Look, she wasn't surprised. I think she was quite indifferent towards that disclosure this time around.
Did you ever consider telling your parents?
No. It's something I would really like to do, and it's something that I think is inevitable. I think it will happen.
Why haven't you told them so far?
Look, I think coming out for people is a very personal journey. I think it's there isn't a right time or a wrong time, but when it feels good for you to actually tell your parents, then that would be the point that I tell them. But I would say at this point in my life, I don't feel that I want to tell them.
What is different between that time and now? That first coming out and the second coming out, could this turn to custard as well?
No, I'm pretty sure it won't. For a number of reasons, I am starting to integrate my life a lot better. There aren't these separate circle of friends. It is building an integrated life. I am quite involved in the community now as well. So it is something that that is quite joyous for me.
Going back to your parents,
yep.
If they don't know that you're gay, are they going to expect a girlfriend or wife to come along one day?
Or kids.
Yeah.
Look, I think they do in some ways. I think that's always going to be a conflict for myself. I'm not entirely sure how I'm going to work that out just yet. But I would say what's of critical importance for me at this stage is really being confident with my identity. And, you know, I do feel that I am reaching that stage, and certainly I need to be a lot confident with it before I actually, you know, speak to my parents about it as well.
So. Going back in the closet is actually not, it happens to a lot of people.
Yep.
I know a couple of people that have gone back in the closet as well. What advice would you give to people to, in that situation, either that are coming out for the first time or have gone back in the closet?
I would say do it in your own time. And, you know, I was back in the closet for 7 years before I decided to come back out again. And had there been any pushes for me to come out earlier, I would have resented that, and I certainly wouldn't have wanted to do it any earlier. I think people know. I think you need to be patient with yourself, and when you reach that stage where you feel that you're ready to come out, you know, think about the people that you decide to tell first. I think that's very important. You know, pick those friends that you know are unconditional in their friendship and non-judgmental, and you know, it gets easier from there on.
When you did come out the second time and you started telling your friends, did you get any bad responses from them?
No, I would say to this date, I haven't had any bad responses yet. I've moved past the point now of actually setting up one-on-one catch-ups with people to to break the news. I would say that those who are most important to me in my life know, when it comes to the friends.
Do you think if you'd known that they would have responded so well that you would have come out earlier or would not have gone back in the closet?
No, I still think that I probably will still stay in the closet. It wasn't so much about acceptance from other people, and you know, it was acceptance of myself. I think
it was your own frame of mind.
Yeah, I think it was my frame of mind, which was important.
So, I mean, at one point, your parents, as we said, are going to question. So, how do you think they will take it when you finally get round to telling them?
I would like to believe that they will come around to it. Look, I think the reaction initially is going to be one of shock, and it's going to be very emotional for them. But you know, I would like to hope that that, you know, as their son, that you know, I am not a different person to who I was growing up as their son. I'm still the same person, and I'm not defined by my sexuality. And, you know, they still got the same son that they had, you know, for the last 25 years. Yeah.
Okay. We'll come back to Austin's story very soon. Joy 949, this is On Driven with Mo and Hugh. And our guest today is Austin, Chinese Malaysian background. Now, Austin, let's move on away from coming out and going back in the closet and coming out the closet again. Let's talk about the organizations that you're involved in.
Yep. So I'm involved with the Victorian AIDS Council. I'm one of the peer education facilitators there. So running workshops in like Young and Gay and Momentum and relationships.
And how's that volunteer experience been for you?
Look, fantastic. I actually was a participant in Young and Gay, and you know, I think the work that the VAC does is absolutely wonderful. And so
are you full time or just?
No. I volunteer after hours. Okay. You know, after I did the course, you know, I went through training with the VAC and then moved on to become a facilitator for them.
Yeah. Very good.
What else? Any other community organisations you're involved with?
Yeah, I'm also actively involved with the Melbourne Spikers, which is a volleyball group, which we train every Tuesday night, and we go and play competitions interstate and locally with, you know, other gay teams, and you know, that's been fantastic as well. And certainly for me, like I used to play volleyball a lot in school, and now it's great to be able to play with the Melbourne Spikers.
And I actually went to my first game last week, my first training session.
You
and
it's did.
A, it's a fantastic, fantastic group.
And you did very well, Mo. I hope to see you back there soon.
Now, Victoria Needs Council, just let's jump back a little bit. How important is it for volunteers to actually come forward and join in with the groups there?
Look, I think it's I think it's critical. You know, I think the program is run by volunteers, and that's what I find quite surprising. You know, all the facilitators and all those workshops are offered by the VAC. A lot of those are staffed by volunteers who give up their time. And, you know, I think about my own experience and, you know, going through Young and Gay. Certainly Young and Gay played a role in me coming out, and they've been an incredible support for me. So the work that the volunteers do, they're fantastic, yeah. Mm.
Now, at the beginning of the show, you actually said that your family weren't religious.
Yep.
But have you found religion?
I wouldn't say I found religion, but I have found spirituality for myself. And I think spirituality for me was also part of the reason why I did come out. I actually, last year, at the start of last year, I did a Vipassana retreat, which is basically a silent meditation for 10 days. And it was actually during that time that I really got some perspective on my life and really figured out what was important. And
silent meditation for 10 days.
Yes.
So just take us through what happened.
So it's basically a retreat up in the bushes. And during the 10 days that you're there, you can't talk. You can't even show body language, so there's no eye contact. The regime or the timetable is you get up at 4 a.m, you meditate, you take a quick break, you meditate, and you've got these periods of meditation throughout the day, and then you're back in bed by 9:30 at night. So,
And what about, I mean, spirituality and sexuality being together in your life side by side? Is that a unhealthy combination or an unhealthy combination?
Yeah, well, for me, it's been really important. I think, you know, I've read a lot about, you know, Buddhist philosophies and teachings. And, you know, one of the things about Buddhism is non-judgment, and something that's been quite important for me, yeah.
Okay. I admire the people who are Buddhists. I like the religion. I like the way they have their little altars at home and put the offerings there. And do you do this?
No, I don't. I think I, you know, appreciate spiritualism through my everyday practice and being conscious of the way I think. I think that's important for me.
Sounds good to me. Well, thank you, Austin. Unfortunately, we have come to the end of the show, but thank you for coming in today and giving us your story. And I'm sure the listener enjoyed hearing the different aspects of your life.
No, thank you very much. It's been a real pleasure being on the show today.
Well, that is On Driven for another week. Our thanks to Austin for coming in and chatting with us. Coming up next on Joy is Sha Power Show. So stay tuned, because it is a really great show. On Driven will be back again at the same time, 4 o'clock next Saturday afternoon, with more insights into our GLBTIQ community here in Australia and, of course, around the world. From myself and our new presenter, Mo.
Yes, thanks. It was a great, great first episode.
Yeah, great. Have a great week.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.